ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्यज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिकान्तराधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गिराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। वी वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर दिस कृष्ण रसायनम ऑन द टॉपिक ऑफ हैप्पी पिलग्रिमेज आफ्टर अ हॉटी इंसल्ट। Haughty means very harsh or arrogant insult done by Duryodhana towards Vidura. So, in every class we all assemble, we discuss pastime maybe in two or three sittings. In the previous sessions, I believe some of you might have come for the Chitraketu section. Srimad Bhagavatam has immensely valuable lessons to offer for our practical life. We saw the dealings between Shiva, Parvati and Chitraketu. Just those three personalities, they practically occupy our mind and heart throughout the class. Because Chitraketu laughed, and Parvati became angry, and Shiva pacified Parvati by speaking the glories of Vaishnava. So you will see, Bhagavatam just puts one scene. Therefore, when His Holiness Ramapada Maharaj came to Pune once before, he asked me whether we have a projector facility for showing a slideshow. So we arranged a projector facility for the Ambarish Maharaj pastime. And Maharaj put only one picture only. Throughout the class, devotees were thinking, when is our slideshow going to change? And it didn't change only. At the end of the class, I asked Maharaj, Maharaj, I think, everybody got absorbed into your class and we forgot to change the slideshow. Maharaj said, no, this is the only PPT with one slide only. And then I asked him, that's all? For this you asked for the projector, Maharaj. He said, yes, because if you put a picture of the Ambarish Maharaj, you know, and Durvasa Muni, so that is the whole discussion between Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni and Lord Vishnu, you know, and the Sudarshan Chakra. So, similarly, you take the four Kumaras approaching Vaikuntha door, Jai Vijay stopping them and Lord Vishnu coming to the door. That's all. That's the only scene that is set. But then, within that scene, there are many, many subtle lessons being taught. How did four Kumaras speak and how did Jai Vijay, you know, respond and what did Lord Vishnu do when he saw both of them? The whole pastime is on that. So, we need a taste for Srimad Bhagavatam to enter into this, into the mysteries of these pastimes and relish them, remember them, live them in our lives, and then the Bhagavatam can, you know, fulfill its promise of Nashta Prayeshu, Abhadreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. All that is troublesome to our heart will be destroyed. So, the thing that is troublesome to our heart is lust, anger and greed, Prabhupada says. These are the basic, lust, anger and greed. So, today we are entering into another pastime, which is Vidura being insulted by Duryodhana and driven out of the palace. That is actually going to be the scene, the highlight of our discussion, where we are going to get innumerable lessons for application in our personal spiritual life. So, before we enter into that scene, there are a few verses we will cover from the beginning of this chapter. So, this chapter 1 of the third canto, it has a total of how many verses? It has a total of 45 verses. So, I have the Subodhini guide also here with me. I will tell you the main sections here and then the highlight sections for today. So, the first 5 verses talk about Vidura's renunciation and Maharaj Parikshit's inquisitiveness. There is going to be one very important verse will come in that. Maharaj Parikshit's eagerness to hear about Vidura. Actually, we should be very eager to hear about great devotees. Like for example, non-devotees are very eager to hear from millionaires or about millionaires, how they became a millionaire. Even Vedavyas, when he heard from Narada some upadesh, at that time Narada told something about his personal life, how I was a Dasiputra and how I met the Bhaktivedantas. So, and then Narada concluded saying that the Bhaktivedantas, after Chaturmas, they all went away. And the story ended there. But do you think Vedavyas was satisfied? Vedavyas, in the next chapter beginning, he will ask a question to Narada. After the Bhaktivedantas went away, what did you do? It is like asking a devotee, after you got initiation from your spiritual master, what did you do? Correct, no? Because that is very important, isn't it? You know, did you throw the beads to one corner? Now I am liberated now. I got initiation now. So, there Srila Prabhupada says, the Saddharma Pritcha means to inquire from great souls or inquire about great souls, how they advanced in their Krishna consciousness. So that we can learn from them how to advance in our life also, in a similar way. So you will see that is the inquisitiveness of Parikshit Maharaj, you will see that in the first 5 verses. And next 10 verses, 6 to 16, what led Vidura to leave the palace? That is explained there. And then 17 to 25, Vidura's travel to pilgrimages. And then later on, 26 to 45, Vidura's inquiries about the welfare of Yadus and Kurus to Uddhava. So, my highlight will be on two sections, that is 6 to 16. That is what circumstances led Vidura to leave Hastinapur. So, we can learn from Duryodhana how not to speak. or how not to deal. And 17 to 25, Vidura's travel to pilgrimages, that's another important section. We also can learn how to go for yatras or pilgrimages, and what should be one's attitude. That becomes very clear in that section. These two I will be highlighting more. Nevertheless, the first section we will briefly touch upon it. 1 to 5 also. Shri Shuka Vavacha Evametat Pura Prishto Maitreyo Bhagavan Kila Kshatravanam Pravishtena Tyaktva Svagriha Mriddhimat. Yeah.
After renouncing his prosperous home and entering the forest, King Vidura, the great devotee, asked this question of His Grace Maitreya Rishi.
Yeah. So, this chapter begins, Shukadeva Goswami begins saying that Vidura inquired from Maitreya Rishi, because earlier there is one verse, 1.13.1, where there is a question asked, there is a mention about the same, that Vidura left home on a pilgrimage and met Maitreya Rishi, that is 2.10.48. And the sages had already heard in 1.13.1 Bhagavatam, where they heard that Vidura met Maitreya, and they were also eager to know, Shaunakadi Rishis also. So here you find the Suta Goswami will also present this whole pastime after mentioning about Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Parikshit. See, one beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam is, although the history of this world or this universe is very exhaustive, and nobody will get time to read about everything. It is very exhaustive. But Srimad Bhagavatam will go very fastly when it talks about so-and-so king married so-and-so woman, and then begot so-and-so in the womb of his wife. And then it goes on and on. But as soon as there is something worthy for us to learn about pure devotional service, then immediately the camera will be taken more close and put on those characters. Just like Nabaga begot Nabaga. And Nabaga had, you know, a son called Ambarish. And then immediately the whole, you know, focus is on Ambarish Maharaj, because Ambarish was a pure devotee. Same with Dhruva Maharaj's family. Many, many lineages are mentioned, but there is no much elaboration. Just the names are mentioned, that's all. But in Leelamrita also you may see, like Srila Prabhupada had a family of 5 sons. They were pious people. At the same time, they didn't become connected to the Vaishnava line very powerfully and do some extraordinary Vaishnava activities. So there may be just a mention about them. But if somebody in some particular family became a Vaishnava and became a very prominent Vaishnava, did something extraordinary, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, for example, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son, Bhaksan Sarasya Thakur, like that, then there is an elaborate talk about that. That's how the Bhagavatam deals with that, because the Bhagavatam's focus is on pure devotional service. So here also, Vidura Maitreya Samvad is very important, which is going to come now. But even before that Samvad happens, the very method of Vidura's leaving the palace with a proper attitude, that itself is a pastime in itself. It is worthy of learning in our lives. This will teach us how to convert misfortune into good fortune. How to convert a hopeless situation into a successful situation. Or how to convert a tragedy into a victory. So therefore, every one of us sitting here, in our own lives, sometimes there is fair weather, sometimes there is foul weather. Sometimes things are very cool, you know, very uncool, like a bed of roses for us. Another time, suddenly you come across a bed of thorns and you have to walk through it. So, how do we face challenging situations? So that is actually one of the themes of this chapter, how Vidura faced it. So therefore, Bhagavatam should be studied with a desire to learn lessons from these great characters like Vidura, how they lived when they were subjected to terrible traumatic situations. So if we can learn from them, then when we are put into those situations, we can remember those characters. We can remember them, pray to them, derive strength from them, appreciate them, and try to apply as they have applied. Yadva ayam mantra kriddho.
Yadva ayam mantra kriddho.
Yadva ayam mantra kriddho.
Yadva ayam mantra kriddho.
Bhagavan Akhileshwarah.
Bhagavan Akhileshwarah.
Pauravendra griham hitva.
Pauravendra griham hitva.
Praviveshatma satkritam.
Praviveshatma satkritam.
What else is there to say about the residential house of Pandavas? Shri Krishna, the Lord of everything, acted as your minister. He used to enter that house as if it were his own, and he did not take any care of Duryodhan's house.
Yeah. Once Yamaraj actually had prayed to Lord Vishnu that, you know, I'm sitting in the Yamaloka and getting to watch all this sinful living, and it is coming here and getting punished with Yamakinkaras. So he said the administration management of this kind of Yamaloka is very painful thing. And that too, he's a Mahajan. Mahajan is supposed to be very compassionate. One of the 12 Mahajans. So he said, my Lord, please give me an opportunity where I can retire from my post for a while and I can, you know, associate with saintly people and perform pure devotional service peacefully. So Lord Tadastu, Lord blessed him. But then still he was in post for a while, for some more time. And then at one point of time, Mandukumuni or Mandavi Muni, it's mentioned. He came to Yamaraj asking why he was arrested along with the thieves and taken to the king to be put into a punishment. And then Yamaraj checked his account and said, when you were a small kid, you know, you tried to catch a dragonfly and meddle with it. For that you got this punishment. So Mandukumuni became angry. He said, small children who are innocent, such behaviors cannot be counted and punished later, as per the Shastra. He quoted some Shastra and said, so because you punished me wrongly, now I will punish you by cursing you to become a Shudra. Like that he said. So then Yamaraj left his post. And in his post was Ariyama, who was officiating the post during his leave of absence. At that time, Yamaraj, when he came to the earth, he became Shudra. Who was a Shudra? He was Vidura. But the problem is, although he was born as a Dasiputra, again he was put into another political situation. Earlier he was in Yamaloka, now he was in Bhuloka here. And here also again he got into the complex politics of Duryodhana, Dushasana, Karana, Shakuni, and Dhritarashtra. It was a total mess, a messy situation. So Vidura must have been very sad. See, the purpose of my taking birth on earth is to perform pure devotion service by getting some little retirement. See, one time I told the devotees that there is too much of management in the temple, let us go for a camp. So we went for a camp, some 10, 12 senior devotees, we went out. But by the time we reached the spot, there was already one team waiting for solving some management problem. They came to know that we are coming there. They checkmated me there. As soon as I go there, I couldn't just move at all. So we were there for 2 days and both the days were filled with management there. And we went to that. Only difference is management was done in the resort instead of the temple. That's the only difference. We went to the resort, but we couldn't enjoy study of Bhagavatam. Isn't it? So, I was telling them this example of Vidura, that Vidura left the Yama's post, but after coming to earth, here also he got entangled in, the Kaurava's court, again dealing with all dirty politics. Actually, he was torn between, he would give good advice to Dhritarashtra, but Dhritarashtra would listen very nicely, nodding the head, but he will not follow. He was attached to Duryodhana. So Vidura had to perform a very thankless task. How many of you would like to give a good advice to somebody who hears with one ear and leaves in another ear? Who doesn't apply at all? And that was the task given to Vidura. But Vidura, lifelong Vidura was like that. trying to advise Dhritarashtra like that. And then he was already thinking in mind, have I come for this? You know, I actually wanted to go on a pilgrimage and hear from saintly people, meet Lord Krishna face to face, do Shuddha Bhakti. So that was already in the back of his mind. Therefore, there are two reasons given for Vidura leaving home. One is the misunderstanding that happened with, Duryodhana. But that is a mundane reason. And wanting to go in pilgrimage and meet saintly people and associate with them, that's a spiritual reason. Out of the two, which is more prominent for Vidura? Second, the spiritual reason is more prominent. You see, advanced devotees of the Lord are just waiting for some excuse to turn to scriptures, turn to the lotus feet of the Lord. As soon as there is an opportunity, they will turn. Like some people say, Prabhupada asked his wife, you want tea or you want me? And then she said tea. So Prabhupada took sannyas. That's what some people say. Do you think the tea is the cause of Prabhupada sannyas? That's a mundane reason. Prabhupada already was going to Vrindavan and Delhi, printing books, printing Back to Godhead magazine, distributing. He was doing all that. And he was already Vanaprastha. By the time he was in 50s, he took Vanaprastha actually. And he was already preparing for sannyas. But what happened at home, his wife being unfavorable for his bhakti, that's an incidental thing. That's not a very important thing. But some people make a big thing out of it, say that because his wife did not cooperate, Prabhupada took sannyas, they say. Actually, Prabhupada was not such a person to be disturbed by wife or children or anybody. He is a Jagadguru, world acharya. He has much more important things to do. But he wanted his wife to sit in the Bhagavatam class along with him and children to cooperate. But when he would be giving a class, they would be sitting in the loft and drinking tea and eating biscuits. They were not cooperative. Prabhupada mentions that. But Prabhupada says that in a family, if husband and wife both are inclined to study of Bhagavatam, that's a very fortunate family. Like the Prabhupada says. So, but Prabhupada had already prepared, and in the Vedic life, after 60, taking sannyas is not at all considered wrong. At a certain age, because he raised his sons, and they all were set in the business, after fulfilling his family grihastha duty, then he took sannyas. So one should not misrepresent Prabhupada, saying that, like one devotee was giving a lecture, saying that his wife, he asked his wife, tea or me, and she said tea. And Prabhupada left and took sannyas. So that one of the new persons who came to the lecture got very disturbed. How can the Swamiji do that? He could have explained to his wife properly. So one should not think tea or me is an insignificant reason. Actual reason is Prabhupada's heart was, very, very eager to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. Therefore he took sannyas. Similarly, Vidura also. He already was a very saintly character. He actually used it as an excuse to, push off from the palace. We can say he wanted to push off from the political palace so that he can put himself in a situation where he can access Krishna more easily. So, in this way, the devotees of the Lord, they always are willing to take shelter of the Lord. As soon as opportunity presents itself. One another example I'll tell you. When Daksha Prajapati was angry with Shiva, he criticized Shiva in various ways. She told Shiva that my daughter's eyes are like a deer's eye and your eyes are like the owl's eyes, like that he said. And he said, your name is Shiv. Shiv means auspicious. But you are auspicious in name only because you live in Shmashan. You live in a graveyard, which is a very inauspicious and unclean place. Like that he cursed Shiva very badly. Actually, one should know that Shiva goes to Shmashan to deliver the ghosts and spirits, to make them all become human beings. And after getting human body, he wants to make them all Vaishnavas. That is his goal. When Srila Prabhupada went to America, Prabhupada said, I have two ambitions, Prabhupada said. My one ambition is to convert all the Americans into Vaishnavas. And my second ambition is, using those Americans, make the whole world into Vaishnavas. Like that he said. So Prabhupada had these two ambitions. But Prabhupada went to the hippies hill, hippie land, And hippies were at that time living like ghosts and spirits only. Huh? It was like Shiva entering Shmashan, Prabhupada entered hippie land. It's very similar to that. Huh? But then Prabhupada, nobody should criticize Prabhupada. Why did he go to such dirty people? Huh? Why can't he preach to some pious brahmanas in India? Huh? No, Prabhupada actually is going to hippie land to make the hippies into happies. Huh? Like that Shiva also goes to Shmashan to make the ghosts and spirits into humans and Vaishnavas eventually. But Daksha Prajapati was, least knowledgeable about such things. Because he is a karmi or a staunch metalist. So he had no idea of what is this. The compassion of a Vaishnava cannot be understood by a non-devotee metalist. Non-devotees actually think always in terms of money. Whenever I would go to distribute Bhagavad Gita in the train, in those days when I was working in the company, sometimes I'll be in pant and shirt while working in the company. I would distribute Bhagavad Gitas. So people used to ask, how much commission do you get? Because they cannot do any work without commission. They are used to commission. Therefore, they think everybody is collecting commission. It's called Atmavan Manyate Jagat. To think everybody in this world is like them only. So when Daksha Prajapati saw this, when Dakshapati spoke like this, then he cursed Shiva, telling Shiva that you will not be invited in the demigods gathering where all the demigods will be given a share of the sacrifices. You will not get a share, he said. So what he thought was Shiva will be insulted by this. That's what he thought. But Shiva was very happy. Why he was happy? When you go to meet the demigods in a meeting, gathering, often there will be prajalpa amongst demigods. Demigod prajalpa. Because demigods have prajalpa about the heavenly planets, who acquired what post, who lost the post, who acquired the post, who did what, who got punishment, who got reward. They'll be talking, and Shiva used to be bored with that. Because Shiva is always meditating on Satvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. He's meditating on Lord Vasudeva always. So Shiva would go to such meetings, but he would want to plug his ears and just do meditation on Lord Vasudev. But now he is actually exempted from the meeting only. So he was very happy. Thank you for exempting me from the meetings. But Daksha Prajapati thought that I am making Shiva lose something. Shiva said, yes, I am losing. What am I losing? I am losing prajalpa and losing suffering. That's all. Like that Shiva said. So in this way, Shiva's not being invited to the meeting became an advantage for him. Same way, the same Daksha Prajapati, in the next lifetime, he appears in 6th canto. You will find, he is cursing Narada, that because you have made my 1,000 sons, 10,000 sons, and later on 1,000 sons, Hari Ashwas and Shavalas was into sadhus, saintly people. I curse you that you cannot stay in one place. So why Daksha thought like that? Daksha was very attached to his palace. So he thought that if somebody is cursed to quit the palace, it's a great loss. But for preachers like Narada Muni, if he is cursed to travel, it's a very wonderful curse. Because they don't stay in one place. They keep moving from place to place to place, reaching out Krishna consciousness to different people. So for Narada also, the curse turned out to be a boon. It's like a blessing in disguise. And then Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, because we are coming in Narada Muni's parampara, now I also got the same curse too from the parents of the brahmacharis to travel from one place to another, not stay in one place. Although Prabhupada says that many temples are offering me Prabhupada quarters, beautiful room with very nice soft beds and pillows and very nice comfortable facilities and amenities, but I am not allowed to stay in one place. I am supposed to travel place to place just as Narada got the curse. And then Prabhupada is saying, I request some of his disciples to take my curse and travel around and preach so that I can sit in one place and write Bhagavatam purports. Like that Prabhupada says. Prabhupada is just joking. Actually, Prabhupada, even though he was writing purports, he was constantly traveling also. So, whether it be the curse of Daksha to Narada or curse of Daksha to Shiva or curse of Duryodhana to Vidura. Pure devotees can never be disturbed by any curse. As soon as they get a curse, they will immediately think, how can I utilize this curse positively? You see, Arjuna in the heavenly planets had to receive a curse from Urvashi. Because Urvashi, once when she was dancing beautifully in the heaven, Arjuna was staring at her. Then Indra saw Arjuna staring at her. Then later on he called Urvashi and said, "It seems Arjuna has fallen in love with you. Please go and meet him." So that evening time, Urvashi decorated herself very beautifully and went to meet Arjuna. And when she told Arjuna, when Arjuna heard it, he said, "Oh, Urvashi Mata, what are you thinking? I never stared at you with the desire to enjoy you. I have heard from my ancestors that I had one ancestor called Pururava. And Pururava was married to you. So I was seeing you like a great, great grandmother. That's why I looked at you." Like that he said. "I had no other thought in my mind. I never, like you say, Bura Nazar, you say, na? I never looked at you with a Bura Nazar. I never looked at you with the desire to enjoy you." So when she heard it, she became very angry and she said, "See, we are Apsaras. Apsaras have such a bodily makeup that we are a Bhogayoni. Like, you know, Apsara can go and beget a child with Vishwamitra and then she can return to heaven. Some Apsaras are under the custody of Indra, some under Brahma. Sometimes they are sent to the earth also, for certain situations. But they remain like virgins, even after begetting children. They have some special boon like that." So she said that we never get old. In the heavenly planets, there is only birth and death. There is no old age and disease in the heavenly planets. Prabhupada writes it in one place. So therefore she said, "Don't you look at me, I look so young. How can you consider me like a great, great grandmother?" But Arjuna said, "No, since you have been my grandmother once before, how can I consider you like my consort? It's not possible." So out of great and a fit of rage, she gave him a curse that you will become a eunuch for 1 year at least. And then he became Brihanala, who became a eunuch. Arjuna became eunuch for 1 year. And that was exactly matching with Ajnatavas period. And Arjuna did not counter curse her. He immediately thought, "Okay, I got a curse now. Now how can I utilize this curse?" Like that he thought. See, this is one symptom of great souls. When somebody becomes an instrument for inflicting suffering upon them, they never bother about the person who is inflicting suffering on them. Rather, they think, how can this suffering be converted into a positive activity? Like Lord Rama was cursed by Kaikeyi to go to forest. Did Ram curse her back? He didn't curse her back. In fact, Kaikeyi's son, Bharat, he became angry towards her. But did Ram become angry? Ram immediately thought, "Okay, 14 years I have in the forest. What can I do in that time? So let me meet the saintly people. Let me help the sages and saints and protect them from the asuras." Immediately he started positively planning about how will I utilize my next 14 years. Same thing with Arjuna also. "Okay, 1 year I have to be a eunuch now." See, for a Kshatriya king to be a eunuch is a very great shame. Is it not true? To become like a eunuch for 1 year. But Arjuna did not counter curse her in anger. Rather, when he came down, he understood this 1 year, he became a dance teacher of Uttara, isn't it? He became a dance teacher. He was in the Virata Desh. So, we could give innumerable examples of Vaishnavas converting misfortune into good fortune. That's a prime lesson here. So, therefore, here, there is a point here. Lord Krishna, you know, he lived in the palace of Parikshit or the Pandavas and Vidura. In fact, he did not go to the Krishna did not go to the palace of Duryodhana for eating. Rather, he went to the place of Vidura. Then why would Vidura leave such a place? It's actually considered like a holy place. Why would he leave that holy place to go elsewhere to another holy place? One may ask a question. That's the question coming here. Read the next third one. Okay, you can read the purport. There is one. Read the purport, very important purport. The same, second verse purport.
According to the Gaudiya Achintya Bheda Veda Tattva philosophy, anything which satisfies the senses of Supreme Lord Shri Krishna is also Shri Krishna. For example, Shri Vrindavan Dham is non-different from Shri Krishna. Tad Dham Vrindavanam. Because at Vrindavan, the Lord enjoys the transcendental bliss of his internal potency. Similarly, the house of Pandavas was also the source of transcendental bliss for the Lord. It is mentioned here that the Lord identified the house with his own self. Thus, the house of Pandavas was as good as Vrindavan, and Vidur should not have given up that place of transcendental bliss. Therefore, the reason for his quitting the house was not exactly family misunderstanding. Rather, Vidura took the opportunity to meet Rishi Maitreya and discuss transcendental knowledge. For a saintly person like Vidur, any disturbance due to worldly affairs is insignificant. Such disturbances, however, are sometimes favorable for higher realization, and therefore Vidur took advantage of a family misunderstanding in order to meet Maitreya Rishi.
Yeah. So, there is one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yuyam duloke bata bhuri bhaga lokam punana munayo biyanti. Like that, there is a verse which talks about how the rishis and munis in the jungle would come to this palace. Because Krishna would come and live in Pandava's palace sometimes even two months, 3 months in a row, continuously. So the rishis not seeing Krishna, they would come there to see. Which means, Vidura, why should he leave such a palace of the Pandavas and Kauravas and go for a pilgrimage? One may have the question. Now it will be answered now as we proceed ahead. Rajovacha Kutrakshatur Bhagavata Maitreyena sa sangamaha Karavas saha samvada Yetat varnayana prabho.
The king asked Sukhdev Goswami, where and when did the meeting and discussion take place between the saint Vidur and his grace Maitreya Muni? Kindly oblige my lord and describe this to us.
Yeah. So now you will see Parikshit is so enthusiastic. He want to know about the discussion between Vidura and Maitreya. You see, generally people are very fond of sightseeing. People want to go to some new place, see some new things. Even while going for yatra, sometimes people go for 3 day or 1 week yatra also. People often like to go to places which they have not seen before. They keep finding out new places. So it appears like a spiritual endeavor, but oftentimes Narottama Das Thakur, he criticizes that as a material curiosity. Going to some new place to watch some new sight. So the conditioned souls have a tendency to do something new. They want something interesting or adventurous, some kind of thrill they get in that. And that is one of the natures of any living entity. So I have a reference from Narottama Das Thakur's statement that he says that going to pilgrimages for sightseeing is unnecessary disturbance in one's spiritual program, he says. On the other hand, one should actually sit at one place and hear about the Lord and awaken love for the Lord. See, when such statements are made, we should not get frightened. Then what about the yatras every year we are going? Somebody may have a question. Sometimes certain things are emphasized more for a purpose. When a person is, when I was giving one program, one family told me that, Prabhuji, next week we won't come for the program. They said, I asked why. We are going to Vrindavan Dham and Giriraj Parikrama. They were only chanting one round. And they were going for a 1 week yatra to Vrindavan. Then I asked them, who is taking you? Said, nobody is taking us. We are only going ourselves. What will you do there? We just, our family, it's our family custom to go to Giriraj Parikrama and Vrindavan. We'll just go to different temples and we will see. We'll go to Giriraj Sweets and eat some Sanson Babadi. And we'll come back. I didn't tell them anything because they were only chanting one round. What can you tell them? If you tell them anything, they'll stop coming to class. You can't tell. I didn't tell them. But you can understand the mentality that people generally go to holy places and they think it's a very spiritual thing. Actually, one shouldn't go to a holy place unless one can hear from a saintly person. The holy places are holy because saintly persons are residing there. The saintly persons are holy because their lips are decorated with Lord's holy name and their heart is decorated with Lord's pastimes. And they are residing there, and all the sinful people come and dump the blackish sins in the holy rivers. And the saintly people, when they take a dip in the river, they disinfect it and they nullify all the sinful reactions. How? Not by their own power, but by the power of the holy name they chant, and by the Lord they carry in their hearts. By that they nullify the sinful reactions. So when such saintly people living in the holy place are giving katha, speaking, one goes to hear from them. By hearing the saintly people, one can see the Lord. We can get the eyes to see the Lord. Therefore, in Sanskrit, there is a word called darshan. The word darshan has double meaning. Darshan means philosophy. Darshan means sight. And they are connected also. By hearing philosophy, you will get the sight. Chakshudan dilojai. Janme janme prabhusevisena. Chakshu means, by hearing Prabhupada's lectures, you get the chakshu. You get the divya chakshu, you get to see. So darshan has both the meanings. Darshan is philosophy, darshan means sight also. So therefore, you see, Parikshit is very enthusiastic for hearing. He is saying that, what was the discussion between Vidura and Maitreya? Please tell me. And the next verse is even more interesting. Na hyalpartho dayastasya.
Na hyalpartho dayastasya.
Vidurasyamalatmanah.
Tasmin variyasi prashnah.
Sadhuvado pabrumhitah.
Saint Vidur was great and pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his questions to His Grace Rishi Maitreya must have been very purposeful, on the highest level, and approved by learned circles.
Yeah. See, he's saying alpa artha. Alpa artha odayastasya. Alpa means, alpa artha means not very important. Nahi alpa artha adhyo, he's saying, which means, when a great soul is giving a lecture, when another great soul is asking a question, then that conversation becomes very delightful for seriously practicing devotees. Like imagine, his own Tamaksha Maharaj asked a question to Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is a Paramahamsa, and Tamaksha Maharaj is a great soul. So immediately we should become enthusiastic. What was the question he asked? There is a photo of Tamaksha Maharaj as a boy with a lot of curly hair, sitting right in the front. And when he had come first a few times. So second or third time when he came, he asked a question to Prabhupada. Swamiji, I have a thick friendship in one material circle. I am now slowly leaving them, and I am now becoming interested in spirituality now. What if I cannot become successful in spirituality? Then I can't go back to my old friends. I am already giving up their company. I am only afraid that I am neither there nor here. And Prabhupada smiled hearing this question. And then Prabhupada said, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asked the same question to Krishna. Kangatim Krishna Gachati, that's one verse it says. Prabhupada told that question and then said, Arjuna had a similar question. When you go from material circle to spiritual circle, will I not become a riven cloud? When one cloud goes from here to another cloud. So Prabhupada said, Krishna says that, Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata kaschiti. Prabhupada quoted that. And he told that your question is really brilliant. Because it's the same question Arjuna asked. And Prabhupada gave the answer that anybody who takes to Krishna consciousness will never perish. At the end of the program, Prabhupada told one devotee, this student is a very intelligent boy. You should find out who he is and take care of him. He is going to become a great devotee. Prabhupada predicted actually. And he went on to become His Holiness Tamalakrishna Goswami Maharaj. So, similarly, when there is a conversation between great souls, like for example, His Grace Burijan Prabhu, sometimes he, along with many Prabhupada disciples, they sit in Govardhan and they have some japa workshop, or sometimes they have some study of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, question answers. So, if great souls come together, naturally, the question answer will be very, very fine, high class, which is not ordinary. One should take advantage of satsanga. So therefore he is asking, tasmin variyasi prashnaha, he is saying. They must be really highly purposeful questions. Because people who are generally materialistic, they also ask questions which are very, very mundane. Like after class is over, say you are giving a class on love of Krishna and Sudama and whole pastime event. And somebody raises the hand and asks question. So Prabhu, at the end of the class, I want to know, can we pray to Krishna for, you know, getting a job or getting married or getting settled in life? Sometimes people ask a question. So small-minded people ask very small type of questions, which are not very purposeful. And exalted personalities ask exalted questions. Therefore, immediately Parikshit was interested, because the two characters involved are Vidura and Maitreya. That must be really very special. So he said, sadhu adopi bimhitaha, which means the great souls discuss about subject matter which is approved by learned circles. So I want to hear that, he says. So here comes one important point. Is it wrong on our part to want to know who is the speaker for a Bhagavatam class? How many of you generally like to know who is the speaker on Saturday, Sunday, so that you can choose to attend or not attend? Correct? Almost half the crowd. I know another half crowd is not raising hand because they are afraid. I can tell you practically everybody wants to know. That is a fact. So is it wrong? Is it not offensive to the speaker who is speaking? Oh, that speaker is speaking, I don't have to go. Oh, this speaker is speaking. Even if you had an appointment, you will throw away that appointment and go for that lecture, isn't it? See, I will tell you how it is wrong and how it is not wrong. Both I will tell you. When it is not wrong, just like when you go to the prasadam hall, they are serving different items of prasad. You may want to have some and not have others. Correct, no? Like some people say, they take rice and they make a big hole in the center and say, put dal inside. Some people say, no, Prabhuji, put dal in the corner, little bit. Some people want the rice to float in dal. Some people take very little dal, correct, no? It is whose preference? Their preference. If I am a server of dal, should I serve according to their choice or my choice? If I tell them, no, I put lot of dal only, I'll put in a whole plate. I can't do that. Similarly, if the people have a desire to attend a particular speaker's lecture, it is based on taste. Because they are able to, you know, connect with the speaker, they are able to relish the message, and they are able to take some lessons and apply it in their life. And if it enhances their Krishna consciousness, what's wrong in that? I wouldn't say it's wrong for people to have a taste for a certain speaker or certain speakers and want to attend them. In another hand, why it is wrong, I will tell you. We have to cultivate the consciousness that whichever speaker is speaking, you know, they are also sincerely practicing. Sometimes you will see even many great Prabhupada disciples, they may be very senior, but they may speak very basic lectures, simple lectures. They may not give you very amazing fine points, and they are not going to give you too many examples and new stories which you have never heard anywhere. They may just read the purport and say, so whenever I look at them, more than the sound coming out of their mouth, we should look at their personality. How many years of dedicated service they have done. How sincerely they are practicing. How committed they are to Prabhupada. They have given their body, mind and words to Prabhupada all these years. Some of them have given 30, 40 years like that they have given. So therefore there is a saying in English, you know, your action speaks so loud that I cannot hear what you say. There is a saying in English. So their actions are speaking more louder than their words. So you can respect them for their dedication. Or imagine a very young devotee is giving lecture. Probably this is the first or second time he is giving lecture. People may say, "Are I know that fellow. What can he say? He has no realizations. He's a neophyte." But one should know that at least the purport he is reading is directly from Prabhupada. Correct, no? At least the translation purport. At least that you can sit and hear. And after that, nowadays you will find even very new devotees also, they know that they are new devotees. And they know that many people will not like that class. That also they know. Therefore, they hear from big, big devotees and bring points. You know that? Sometimes very young devotees give such wealth of information you can get if you go to their classes. Because they hear, like one fellow in Kunjibari temple, You know, he was told to give the first Bhagavatam class. He heard 10 hours, can you imagine? 10 hours of Paramahansa Radha Govind Maharaj lectures he heard and made notes very nicely and gave so many points. People were thrilled. People were amazed. Prabhu, where you got all this realization? He said, Prabhu, they are all realizations of Paramahansa Radha Govind Maharaj. I just made notes. So, in this way, don't underestimate young devotees. One, they may have, so if they are very grown up devotees, appreciate their dedication. If they are young devotees, you can look for very good points. In case they are just bluffing, maybe their counselors or leaders can tell them that you have to prepare well and give, correct, no? So, the idea is, one should not have an offensive thought of thinking of young devotees to be useless, or the devotees have dedicated 30, 40 years in Prabhupada's movement. It's not that the preaching is done only by speaking. Preaching is done by our actions also. By how we behave, how we act, how we exemplify, what sadhachar we show. Those things are probably more important than what we speak also. Actually, even Srila Prabhupada's speech was highly Bengali accented. Many of the disciples couldn't understand when Prabhupada spoke in the early days. But they saw he's a very sincere man. He's a good teacher. He actually lives what he speaks. Therefore, people are very touched. So therefore, at the same time, I told you, it's not wrong for you to have an extra eagerness to hear from very exalted personalities. No? It's not wrong. Somebody has that type of taste. So, let's go to the fifth verse. Suta Uvacha. Sayevam Rishi Varyoyam Prishto Ragnya Parikshita Pratyahatam Subahuvit Pritatma Shruyatamiti.
Shri Sudh Goswami said, the great sage Sukhdev Goswami was highly experienced and was pleased with the king. Thus, being questioned by the king, he said to him, please hear the topics attentively.
Yeah. So now, there are very vital words that are going to come in these verses, next few verses, which we should take note of. Because those words give us a clue on the bad propensities and good propensities. Shri Shuka Vacha.
Yadatu Raja Swasutana Sadhun Pushnanna Dharmena Vinashta Drishtihi Bhraturya Vishtasya Sutan Vibandhun Pravesha Laksha Bhavane Dadaha.
Yeah.
Sri Sukadev Goswami said, King Dhritarashtra became blind under the influence of impious desires to nourish his dishonest sons, and thus he set fire to the lacquer house to burn his fatherless nephews, the Pandavas.
Yeah. See, the two words used here, Vinashta Drishtihi. That means Dhritarashtra was physically blind and spiritually also blind. So Vinashta Drishtihi. And he had an impious desire to nourish the asadun. Who are asadun? Kauravas, especially headed by Duryodhana. So therefore, he behaved as if he doesn't know, but he knew the whole plot hatched by Duryodhana to burn the Pandavas alive. Dhritarashtra pretended to not know, but he knew everything. So that's the first point made here. Vinashta Drishtihi and Asadhun. And see the seventh verse.
Yada sabhayam kuru deva devyaha kesha vimarsham sutakarma garhyam navarayama sanrupasnushayaha Swasrai Harantyah Kuchakunkumani.
Yeah.
The king did not forbid his son Dushasana's abominable action of grabbing the hair of Draupadi, the wife of godly king Yudhishthir, even though her tears washed the red dust on her breast.
Yeah. So in this series of verses, what all trouble that Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana and company they gave to Pandavas is mentioned. The previous one talked about, you know, the Varanavat Lakshagriha pastime. And this one, 7th verse, talks about how Draupadi was, you know, disturbed in the public. In this way, the next one, also read the translation, next one, 8th one.
Yudhishthir, who was born without any enemy, was unfairly defeated in gambling. But because he has taken the vow of truthfulness, he went off to the forest. When he came back in the due course and begged the return of his rightful share of the kingdom, he was refused by Dhritarashtra, who was overwhelmed by illusion.
Yeah, yeah. So in this way, all these are well-known incidents for all of you, so I am not elaborating on them. 9th one. Yada cha partha prahita sabhayam jagat guru ryani jagada krishnaha natani pumsam amritayanani rajo rumene kshata punya leshaha. See, there are a few words used here. Kshata punya leshaha means Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, they lost even the last farthing of punya. Kshata punya leshaha. Lesha means little. They didn't even have a little punya also. Like that they acted in various ways. Why he says like that? Krishna's words are called as Amrita Ayanani, which means like a nectar shower. When he came as a Shantidut, he spoke the law codes of dharma and what is right, what is wrong. But those words, although Krishna is Jagadguru, word is used here. Jagadgurur, yani Jagada Krishna. Although Krishna himself came and advised them, that fell in deaf ears of Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana and company. Yeah. In this way, he is telling about the behavior of Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. Yadopahuto bhavanam pravishto mantraya prishta kila purvajena atahatan mantra drisham variyan yan mantrino vaidurikam vadanti.
When Vudra was invited by his elder brother Dhritarashtra for consultation, he entered the house and gave instruction which were exactly to the point. His advice is well known, and the instructions by Vidura are approved by expert ministers of state.
Yeah. It's called Vidura Niti. Vidura was very logical and very reasonable and very balanced giving decisions to Dhritarashtra. But Dhritarashtra was in no mood to listen. See, the previous verse talks about Krishna's Upadesh. This talks about devotee's Upadesh. So Dhritarashtra got both. Both he rejected. He didn't listen to Krishna's instruction. See, read the previous purport. You can see that. Read the previous purport full quickly.
Lord Krishna, who is the spiritual master of the entire universe, accepted the duty of a messenger and deputed by Arjuna, went to the assembly of King Dhritarashtra on a peace mission.
That is a Shantidut, correct? Peace mission. Yeah.
Krishna is everyone's Lord. Yet, because he was the transcendental friend of Arjun, he gladly accepted the role of messenger, exactly like an ordinary friend. That is the beauty of the Lord's behavior with his pure devotees. He reached the assembly and spoke about peace, and the message was relished by Bhishma and other great leaders because it was spoken by the Lord himself. But due to exhaustion of the pious results of their past deeds, Duryodhana or his father Dhritarashtra did not take the message very seriously.
Which means, in case we don't have a past punya, sukriti, good account, then even if somebody gives us good advice, we are unable to listen to it. even when there is an opportunity to take good advice, we are unable to listen to it. It's a very unfortunate thing. Therefore, it's a vinashakale. When the buddhi becomes viparit, then the vinashakale is very near for somebody. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in Kunti Maharani, is one of the purports, when somebody has done some misdeeds in the past, and they are exhausted of their punya, then such a person also has doubts about the Lord, doubts about scriptures, and he gets innumerable doubts about everything spiritual. Then he takes a U-turn and goes back into material life, like that, and due to those doubts. Then what should one do? So in our situation, what we can do, in case we are unable to develop a very staunch faith or unable to align fully, at least we should have the good quality of remaining with devotees. Because by throwing ourselves in the assembly of devotees, even though we may not be seriously practicing, at least we should flow with the wind of devotee association. Because that will produce sukriti. Because the devotee will definitely catch you and engage you in some seva. And the seva will produce punya. And the punya will produce faith. And that faith will make you align with the will of the Lord and will of your devotees. You will see that. Therefore, one of the greatest punya in Kali Yuga is to remain with devotees. In Honolulu, when Prabhupada went, one devotee was staying in the railway station. He left the temple. Prabhupada, when he went to the temple, that fellow came to meet Prabhupada. So, devotees told Prabhupada, Prabhupada nowadays he is not living here. He left the temple and is staying in the station, in the platform. So Prabhupada asked him, you know, why are you not living here? He said, Prabhupada, when I live in the temple, there's a lot of quarrel with the devotees. I cannot adjust. So I'm staying alone in the platform. So Prabhupada was telling, look at sometimes in the platform, the dogs are staying also. You are living in the outdoor, lying in the floor like this. Such a miserable life. Why don't you give up your ego and adjust with the devotees and stay in the temple? So, therefore, agreeing to stay with devotees and practice devotional service itself is a great glory. Because that itself will give us the sadbuddhi and the, you know, bhakti kainkarya, all these opportunities will be more. So here, that's what the Prabhupada is saying here. Although the message was released by Bhishma, Vidura and other people, but at the same time, it is mentioned that due to the exhaustion of pious results, Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, they could not take it. Go ahead.
That is the way of persons who have no credit of pious deeds. By past pious deeds, one may become the king of a country. But because the result of that pious acts of Duryodhan and company were dwindling, it became evident from their actions that they were sure to lose kingdoms to Pandavas.
Yeah, two important things is coming to my mind right now. One is, some devotees say, oh, in my company, my colleague, I have a couple of colleagues, they are so gentlemanly, so soft-spoken, so sensitive. You know, such a perfect gentleman. But look at this devotee, how aggressive this devotee is. How harsh this devotee is. How angry this devotee is. What is the use of you being devotee? It is better to be like a non-devotee gentleman in my company. Some devotees say like that. So now ask yourself a question. Would you live with a devotee who may be a bit insensitive, is harsh of speech, but who is very faithfully and strictly adhering to Guru's instructions and Krishna's instruction and following? Or would you rather prefer to live with a non-devotee who is very gentlemanly, soft-spoken, sensitive, but an atheist? With whom you'd like to live? As a roommate? Sure? Let us take a vote. How many of you would like to live with a devotee? Oh, really? Okay. How many of you would like to live with an atheist who is gentlemanly, soft-spoken? No. Sure? Actually, you are saying that. You have to think deeply about it. Most of us want our colleagues to be sensitive, not harsh, gentle in speech and everything. We expect that. Devotees have made comparison. So, we should know that devotee has the highest quality called as Krishnaika Sharanam. Out of the 26 Vaishnava qualities, what is the topmost quality? Krishna Eka Sharanam. He has taken shelter of Krishna. All other qualities are missing in the devotee, no problem. He has that one good quality. He has taken shelter of the Lord. Whereas a Harava Bhaktasya Kuto Mahadguna. If one is not a Hari Bhakta, what good quality can be in that person? Even the so-called gentlemanliness and sensitiveness is simply a superficial show for an atheist. So, nowadays in ISKCON, there is a lot of talk about sensitivity and being kind, being polite and everything, because in the outside world, everybody is wearing t-shirt on being human. You seen that? Everywhere. So, in ISKCON also such talk is coming. Of course, I would say devotees also should be sensitive. They also should not be harsh. They should be very welcoming. They should learn that. But my question is, in the event of devotees not having those good qualities, but still they are at least devotees, one should not live in non-devotee association, because non-devotees association is like a milk touched by a serpent. Although it may look like nice milk, you drink it, you will die. Therefore, on the other hand, whenever we see devotees lacking some behavioral qualities, we can think about the shelter of Krishna that they have taken. You know, they are wearing tilak, they are wearing kantimala, and also they are surrendered to Guru, and they are doing lot of services they are doing. Their lack of good behavior or good speech is only a superficial problem. It's not a deep problem. Just like Prabhupada says, when you have a cow, or you are milking the cow gives milk, but the cow also gives kicks. Correct, no? Cow keeps giving kicks. If you want milk, you have to tolerate kicks also. Similarly, whether you are a Mataji, you are a Prabhuji, you are a child, you are an old man, all the living beings are coming with their prarabdha karmas. So they have some behavioral traits. Children also you can see. Some children pinch, other children run away. You seen that? If everybody has problem. Similarly, some people have a gossiping nature. Some people have a strong nature. So you will see that when we are living in the company of devotees, we have all types of people. We should not get frightened and run away from devotees. If we run away from devotees, we lose the association. Therefore, Shastras compare devotees to fire. See, if you know how to harness the fire, you can use in a gas cylinder to cook sabji, you know, sweet rice and everything. But if you don't know how to use a gas cylinder with a regulator, there can be an accident. Similarly, with devotees also, what is the accident with the devotee? Aparad, correct. That is accident with the devotee. We can commit aparad. Then you got into accident. So, we have to learn the art of associating with devotees without committing aparad. Like associating with fire to cook the food without blowing off the cylinder. Correct, no? One has to know that art. One has to associate. But although good association was available for Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, they never took advantage. They were completely without any punya, you're saying. Yeah. And then Prabhupada says, complete the purport.
The message of Godhead is always like nectar to the devotees, but it is just the opposite to the non-devotees. Sugar candy is always sweet to a healthy man, but it tastes very bitter to the person suffering from jaundice.
Yeah. So, we should learn to become a saragrahi or like a saranga. From devotees, we should extract the Krishna conscious essence from them. One time there was a devotee from New Vrindavan. His Holiness Chandramali Maharaj was telling that there was one devotee who used to have a big body and a tall body like a Godrej bureau. You know, when he would walk like this, people may think that he's coming to beat me up. When he would come near, he would fold the palms and say, Prabhu, how can I serve you? Like that he will ask. He was a very humble devotee, but externally he had such a look. But there was another devotee, Maharaj was telling, you know, who was very rash in speech, but who was very hardworking. He would do a lot of services. All devotees liked his services. They only didn't like his speech. So when Maharaj was talking to one devotee, that devotee was telling Maharaj is really a bad devotee, you know. He always speaks so rashly, so arrogantly. Maharaj said, No, he's a wonderful devotee. He's a Kshatriya Vaishnav. Like that he was telling. Little Kshatriya Vaishnav. He's a little forceful, but a wonderful devotee. He was telling. So, I have seen my spiritual master also. Whenever you have to say something bad about a devotee, you'll never say. Like one devotee was driving his car. They have to reach airport in time. So this devotee was driving Maharaj in the car. He was driving a little fast. So at one point, there was a lorry coming like this and there was a vehicle going. He went in between. Like that he went. And Maharaj turned to him and said, Hari Hari. That's all he said. He didn't say anything more. And that fellow understood what he meant. So Maharaj didn't have to scold them. So he knows that this fellow is showing his little forceful nature of driving car. He said, Hari Hari means you all understood what the meaning? Drive a bit slow. That's the meaning. Of course the driver understood. Whether you understood or not, he understood. Isn't it? But if you scold the driver, he may feel hurt also, correct? No? But some people have such natures of aggressive driving or aggressive speech or aggressive action, things like that. But the most important thing we should look for in a devotee is the Krishnaika Sharanam. Why I am telling you this? This is not to give you license that you can also be aggressive and say, I am a Vaishnava only. And this is not giving us license. We have to certainly become perfect gentlemen and sensitive and well-behaved and all. At the same time, in case we have to encounter other devotees who we don't like, we should know that these are all superficial problems. Not a very serious problem. The core of the devotee is that person is a Krishna's lover, lover of Krishna. That's what we should see. This is a very important lesson, what I told you just now. Because without this, two problems will happen. Either we will run away from association, or we will get accident with devotees. We will commit aparad with devotees. 11th verse.
Ajata shatro pratiyachadayam. Titikshato dirvishaham tavagaha. Sahanujo yatra vrikodarahihi. Shvasan rusha yatvamalam bibeshi.
Now Vidura is speaking to Dhritarashtra.
Vidura said, you must now return the legitimate share to Yudhishthir, who has no enemies and who has been forbearing through untold suffering due to your offenses. He is waiting with his younger brothers, among whom is the revengeful Bhima, breathing heavily like snake. Surely you are afraid of him.
See, especially Dhritarashtra was angry and afraid. With whom? Because he knew very well that Bhima was the proper combat for whom? For Duryodhana. So Dhritarashtra always felt that Bhima may attack Duryodhana and kill him. He feared Bhima. He was angry with Bhima. He hated Bhima, always. So therefore he says that, he is quoting the name of Bhima here. Bhima is breathing heavily like a snake. In Mahabharata you read that when Bhima would be breathing heavily, there will be some sparks of fire will come from his ears. Then he is thinking of Duryodhana and Dushasana. So he is reminding Dhritarashtra, see, if you don't voluntarily give the kingdom to Pandavas, then Bhima will attack your Duryodhana and he will finish him.
Parthamstu Devo Bhagavan Mukundo.
Parthamstu Devo Bhagavan Mukundo.
Grihitavan Sakshiti Deva Devaha.
Grihitavan Sakshiti Deva Devaha.
Aste Sapuryam Yadu Deva Devo.
Aste Sapuryam Yadu Deva Devo.
Vinirjita Sheshanru Deva Devaha.
See the word-to-word translation, you'll appreciate this. See, Parthamstu Devaha, who is the lord of the sons of Pritha? Who is the lord? Krishna, yeah. You see, the Bhagavan, Lord Krishna, Mukundaha. And Grihitavan, Sa Kshiti Deva Devaha. Actually, the Deva Deva, Kshiti means Bhumi. Deva Deva actually means the Brahmanas and the demigods. See, Kshiti Deva is the Brahmanas, and Kshiti Deva Deva is the demigods. Because Brahmanas perform yajnas and everything. And then he's saying, Aste Swapurya. That means, the Pandavas were always supported by Krishna, who is called Yadu Deva Devaha, and they were also supported by all the Brahmanas, and righteous people also. So he is reminding Dhritarashtra that don't underestimate the power of Pandavas. Try to understand, he is telling them. Krishna accepted the Pandavas as his own kinsmen. And all the kings of the world are with Lord Krishna. And also Krishna is present in his home with all his family members, like Yadu dynasty members. And these Yadus have conquered unlimited number of rulers. Like, you know, Dasharha, Andaka, Vrishni, like that. There are many dynasties who are all together with Yadus. And he is their lord. Why is he telling this? See, Pandavas have allies with Krishna. And Krishna has allies with dozen dynasties. Which means if you put Pandavas in trouble, then the Pandavas will call Krishna. And all those dynasties will come. And they will wipe you out. Like that Vidura is telling. He's giving good counsel. Therefore, Vidura Niti. Vidura Niti. Nowadays people are reading Vidura Niti. Even today, management gurus and all are reading. Except Dhritarashtra, everybody is hearing now. Only that fellow is not in a mood to hear. See, Prabhupada says in the purport, first line you read.
Vidura gave Dhritarashtra very good counsel regarding political alliance with the sons of Pritha, the Pandavas.
Yeah, but despite all the good advice, nothing remained in the head of Dhritarashtra. Sa yesha dosha purushad vidaste. Rihan pravishto yamapatyamatya. Pushnasi Krishna vimukho gatashrihi. Tyajashvashaivam kula kaushalaya. See, he is showing hand to Duryodhana. Sa yesha doshaha, he is saying. See, look at your son. He is calling his son as dosha, means offense personified. Your son is offense personified. He is a purushadvit. He is envious of Krishna. He is saying. He has offended the Pandavas and he is envious of Krishna. He is saying. And he is saying, Grihan pravishtaha yam apatyamatya. You see, you are considering this fellow to be your son. And Pushnasi, you are maintaining him. Who are you maintaining? Krishnad vimukasya. See, Pushnasi Krishnad vimuko gatashri. And this fellow is devoid of all auspiciousness. Shri means auspicious. Gatashri means he is devoid of all auspiciousness. And you are maintaining this fellow. Tejasva, he is saying. Give up your son. Do not entertain him anymore. He is a sinful fellow, poisonous fellow, cunning fellow, diplomatic fellow, envious fellow, an inauspicious fellow. Give up your son. Like that, he is telling in whose presence? That fellow is standing there only. Only thing is, here we don't have the picture. In the Bhagavatam, you will see, if you have the Bhagavatam volume with you, you can see there's a picture. Duryodhana becomes angry. See this picture. Of course, this picture actually is after Duryodhana shouts at Vidura. Vidura is going out of the palace. But you can see Duryodhana standing there. Which means, in the presence of Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, Vidura spoke like this. So, he's telling him, relieve yourself of this ill fortune, he's saying, as soon as possible. Yeah. Read the purport, very important purport.
A good son is called Apatya, one who does not allow his father to fall down. The son can protect the father's
and
soul.
Prabhupada will talk about all this Pindada Kriya and all, one whose son who does, he will elevate his father to heaven and beyond. Whereas if a son does not protect the father by performing Pindada Kriya and everything, then he may fall. So, 3-4 lines later, you can read. But if the son is already an enemy of Vishnu, how in such an inimical mood can he offer sacrifice unto Vishnu's lotus feet? That means, you know, Duryodhana is envious of Krishna, then how can he offer Vishnu Prasad to his father? Correct? If he is envious of Vishnu only, he is asking like that. And then, next para you read, according to moral instructions.
According to the moral instructions of Chanakya Pandit, what is the use of a son who is neither a learned man nor a devotee of the Lord? If a son is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he is just like blind eyes, a source of trouble. A physician may sometime advise the extrication of such useless eyes from their sockets, so that one can be relieved of the constant trouble. Duryodhan was exactly like blind, troubling eyes. He would be a source of great trouble to the family of Dhritarashtra, as foreseen by Vidura. Vidura therefore rightly advised his eldest brother to get rid of this source of trouble. Dhritarashtra was wrongly maintaining such personified offense under the mistaken impression that Duryodhan was a good son, able to liberate his father.
Yeah. See, and Vidura was a well-wisher of Dhritarashtra very much. But somehow, due to his mental attachment, Dhritarashtra could not recognize that. He knew that my brother is my well-wisher, but his attachment to Duryodhana was too strong. He did not listen to him. But Duryodhana could never see Vidura as a well-wisher. This is one difference between Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. Dhritarashtra saw Vidura is my well-wisher, he is my brother. He had love for him also. Therefore, later on, Vidura could strongly preach to Dhritarashtra later on. At the fag end of Dhritarashtra's life. But Duryodhana always thought, this Vidura is my enemy and he is favoring Pandavas. He has a soft corner for the Pandavas. So he always thought like that. So he thought of a friend as an enemy. Even we people in our lives also, if some superior, senior or even a friend corrects us that you are walking this path, it's not proper. You know, Prabhu or Mataji, you should not do this. If somebody tells us, like for example, somebody is doing certain something which makes them very popular. But that popularity is cheap popularity. Correct, no? Like one devotee has a tendency to write poems. But the poem is often unauthentic or unauthorized because it's more sahajyayik. You know sahajyayik? So this devotee started writing poem, one poem, two poems, three poems. Then he wanted to publish a book. So it is, many of the poems are actually very much like in the mood of a sahajya. Sahajya means, sahajyas take love for Krishna very cheaply. Without practicing four relative principles strictly, they speak and write poems as if they have fallen in love with Krishna like Mirabai or something. You know. So this devotee wanted to publish a book. His equal devotees and seniors told him that, Prabhu, you are not in that platform to publish. So he immediately said, my senior is envious of me. And I think he's afraid that I'll become more popular than him also. So in this way, he was considering his friend to be enemy. But actually his senior and equal friends were actually his friends. So sometimes we want to do something which is not good for us. When somebody corrects us, we may think he's my enemy. He's not allowing me to do it. That's what Duryodhana thought. Why this Vidura is stopping me? He doesn't like to see me becoming a king. But he was an unqualified person for the kingship. So, 15th translation, read it. Yeah.
Who asked him?
Okay, you can read 14th translation also. 14 and 15th.
While speaking thus, Vidura, whose personal character was esteemed by respectable persons, was insulted by Duryodhan, who was swollen with anger and whose lips were trembling. Duryodhan was in company with Karna, his younger brothers, and his maternal uncle Shakuni.
Yeah. So, in the purport, Prabhupada writes in read the whole purport, small purport only, read it.
It is said that giving good counsel to a foolish person causes the fool to become angry. Just as feeding milk to a snake only increases its venomous poison.
Yeah, even we people in our life also, we should know the time, place, circumstance in which you can give advice to somebody. Because we should not give advice at a time when it may boomerang. Because somebody can get wild, a foolish person will get wild. There is a story in the Niti Shastra that once some birds who had made a very beautiful nest, very nicely covered nest. In the rainy season, not a drop of water can go inside. They all lived peacefully. So when the rain stopped during the rainy season, the birds came out making sounds. And in the tree, they saw one monkey, which was completely drenched. And it was dripping with water. Monkey was sitting like this, like very, very sadly. So this bird went and told the monkey, "Hey, monkey, you are so badly drenched with water. You didn't make a house during the summer season. Look at our house. We made a house like this, nicely covered. You also make one for yourself, so you can live peacefully. But when the monkey heard it, he said, what? You are ridiculing me that I am wet with water because of the heavy rains? Wait and watch what I do. And monkey jumped up and he tore the house of the birds into pieces and threw it in the wind. So the lesson from the story is, Upadesho hi murkanam prakopayana shantaye. Do not give good advice to fools like monkeys. That's advice. Huh? Because actually the interest of the bird was to give suggestion to the monkey. But the monkey misunderstood it. Monkey thought the birds are ridiculing me for not having a house and I am wet with water. So in our lives also, we should know when to give advice and when not to give. See, Prahlad was giving advice to Hiranyakashipu, but Prahlad was such a pure devotee, even though Hiranyakashipu tried an assassination attempt on him, Lord Narasimha himself came out. And Narasimha protected. That much powerful Prahlad was. If you are also powerful like Prahlad, you can give advice. Otherwise, better we have to think twice before giving. Correct, no? To whom are we giving advice? So foolish people should not be given advice. A foolish person will misunderstand you if you give advice. Therefore, Prabhupada says that when Diti and Kashyapa, Diti wanted a child to kill Indra. But did Kashyapa say, hey Diti, wait a minute, you should not have any malice in the heart for Indra. Indra is supporting Brahminical culture. Lord Vishnu loves him very much. If all this upadesh if he gives, will she hear? It will fall in her deaf ears. She will say, okay, thank you for your advice. Now I want a child now to kill Indra. Some people will be adamant. Foolish people will be adamant. One should know how to divert the foolish people rather than giving them some advice which will fall in deaf ears. Therefore, what he told her, okay, you want a son to kill Indra? Okay, I'll give you a method. Follow this Pumsa Vanavrata. And then you'll get a son who can kill Indra. But then she followed the Pumsa Vanavrata and she became purified. And the desire also got purified. Similarly, when you are preaching to people also, all of you will have experience that some people will come not for Krishna. They come for something else. Some people want to get some peace of mind. Some people want to taste delicious prasadam. Some people want some kind of emotional support. Some people want to chill out, as they say, give up the stress by coming in the company of devotees. Some people are looking for good friends. Some people want to learn good habits because they don't want to deal with friends drinking and smoking and all. They want to learn some good habits. Some people want to associate in a circle of devotees because they see devotees are very cheerful and they are very intelligent. They want to be a part of the circle of intelligent people and cheerful people, successful people. And some people may even come for looking for jobs also. Maybe devotees will give me some recommendation for a job. So some people come into devotee association to get a match also. Good match. Because some people think that, oh, these people are having pure habits. They follow all the regulative principles and they are all godly people, pious people. In the Vedic times also, so people would go to the temple where they will find out, for my daughter I can get a match for a matching son, or for the son matching daughter. And that is not wrong as long as you are a serious devotee, seriously practicing devotee. But people come for various reasons in the temple when they come to the temple. And you can't turn them away when they come for these things. But we should give them upadesha in such a way that along with the lower desire with which they have come, they will also get something higher. That is real intelligence in preaching. If somebody tells them that, hey, you have come for a job, get lost. Then they lose the opportunity to become a devotee. Correct, no? So therefore, upadesha has to be given according to deshkala patra. So people. But now here Vidura was giving upadesha to Dhritarashtra, who had faith in him. But now he is speaking in front of Duryodhana, right in front of him. That is agitating Duryodhana. Duryodhana is a fool and he is not going to pay any heed to the good advice. Read the purport and complete it.
Saint Vidura was so honorable that his character was looked up to all by all respectable person. But Duryodhan was so foolish that he dared to insult Vidura. This was due to his bad association with Shakuni, his maternal uncle, as well as with his friend Karna, who always encouraged Duryodhana in his nefarious acts.
Yeah. See, Vidura's character was very much appreciated by all respectable people in the Sabha. And people knew that although he was born of a Dasi, but he is still an issue coming from Vedavyas. Vedavyasa Seaman. So he is not an ordinary personality. Vidura was very, very exalted. And everybody loved him and respected him as Krishna's devotee. But Duryodhana was foolishly insulting Vidura, not knowing Vidura's stature. This is another lesson we all learned. We should be very careful not to become victim of our Rajoguna propensities and suddenly insult some great personality. Like Indra insulted Brihaspati by ignoring him when he came to the assembly, because of which Indra lost all his opulences. Similarly, sometimes if you find some fault in a great soul, one should not become rash and coarse in pointing out the faults, and such pointing out of the faults can make us lose all our pious credits. One has to be very careful of one's lower nature. So Duryodhana was actually very callous. He was very unmindful of his own lower nature. Publicly he was criticizing, as I showed you in that picture. Which he is going to say in the subsequent verse. Read the next one, 15th one. Who asked him to come here? The son of a kept mistress. Kept mistress means Dasi. He is so crooked that he spies in the interest of the enemy against those on whose support he has grown up. Toss him out of the palace immediately and leave him with only his breath. Like that he said. So this is what Duryodhana spoke like this. Very sharp speech. You can imagine, actually Vidura is an uncle. And he is treating the uncle like this. So, where is Sujit Prabhu? Is he here? He is not here? Okay. I wanted to stop here. This purport, 15th purport, we will read next time. And we will continue from here. This is a turning point to, verse. This one and the next one. It will require some discussion. And which we will do when we meet in the next Krishna Sayanam. Any one quick question, anybody?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Prabhuji, the question that I have is very related to the question which Tamal Goswami Maharaj asking to Prabhupada.
Yeah.
So in our practice of Krishna consciousness, starting from voice life when we join, not every devotee like get the same kind of, you know, the impetus and the growth in Krishna consciousness. And then when we go to our another life, which is like, you know, the student life or being a corporate folk, we don't get the same kind even in our material life. So we actually get kind of caught up or demotivated, both in spiritual, because I am not getting the same kind of taste or the enthusiasm to chant or to practice Krishna consciousness, and in the materialistic life also I am not getting the same kind of recognition kind. So we are a bit caught up in both these situations, which demotivates us being a practitioner.
Yeah, I also observe that company life becomes very demanding. You know, people go in the morning and come late at night. I would say that students staying in yoga, if they find that in the yoga not much is happening in the weekend, boys are either sleeping or they're washing clothes, going to bank, then Saturday, Sunday they can come and stay in the temple. They can attend the morning programs. Saturday morning, Sunday morning is very vibrant. Like here, all the devotees are taking books and going out for marathon. So devotees can go out with them. And evening there is Harinam Sankirtan. So temple is actually a very potent and vibrant place. The Lord is personally standing and he is giving darshan, and there are kirtans going on. Being with a big crowd of devotees like this, you can get a lot of motivation, energy and strength. So instead of just sluggishly passing the weekend in a center which is not very vital, I mean vibrant center, one can come to the temple. And temple alone, I won't say. In temple also, you can find out a senior, superior, who can offer you seva, engagement. You can go and meet them. And also, you can associate with many seniors by asking questions and learning. There are many, many study circles going on. And also, many visiting Vaishnavas come here in the weekends. So, we can hear from them. So, I would say that every individual has to take initiative. If we don't take initiative, then we remain in our position. We don't grow. For growing, we have to take, just like, you know, somebody is throwing rope from the top. I have to catch it. Then only I will be pulled up. If I don't take the trouble to catch that much also, like you all are coming for this class now. Now this class is a voluntary class. If you don't give your attendance here, is somebody going to punish you? No. But you have still taken voluntary effort to come. And there are another 1,000 people who have a chance to come, if they want to come. But they may be in two minds. There are many other things they have to do. So we have to prioritize. If this is a very important thing, I have to do it at any cost. Like His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was telling, he was in one Kumbh Mela. He had to go 4 kilometers. Walking would be difficult. So he wanted a rickshaw. One rickshaw was standing. And the rickshaw wala was right there. Maharaj asked him, can you please come? You know, you can drop me 4 kilometers ahead. He said, no, no, Swamiji, I am going for a bath in the Kumbh Mela. He said, the Amrita will fall and I have to go and take bath. It's very important. So Maharaj told him that, okay, if you are taking 50 rupees for this, I will give you 200 rupees. And that man, rickshawala, said, Maharaj, even if you give me 2,000, I won't come. He said, because I have to go and take a dip in the holy river. This is the time. All the whole world is coming here. I can't afford to miss this. He said, I have shut down my auto for 2-3 days, you know, for the Kumbh Mela, he said. And Maharaj deeply appreciated this. He said, this Indian, you know, how much he values the opportunity for getting liberated in. The moksha is more than his money. Because many people can be purchased with money. But Maharaj said, I couldn't purchase this fellow with money. He was telling. Similarly, we also, if you go Saturday Sunday to a company, they will give you more work and more money also, you know. But in case you really want to advance in spiritual life, you should make the right priorities in life. So I will do 5 minutes kirtan. So, whenever you study Bhagavatam, the instance which is in picture. Now currently, what is the instance that is going on? Vidura has spoken to Dhritarashtra about the terrible nature of Duryodhana. He is calling him as a Krishna Dvit. He is envious of Krishna, you know, one who hater of Pandavas. And he is telling Dhritarashtra that don't take your son's word seriously. You just cast him off. Let him do whatever he wants. After that, Duryodhana is terribly insulting Vidura. Now Vidura is going to face a great turmoil in his heart at this point of time, which is explained by Prabhupada very nicely in the next verse and the purport also. So when we sing, you remember this instance in your mind. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. My nephew is like my son. Imagine if your nephew insults you so badly. He is asking me to quit the palace. So, in the next purport, Prabhupada will write, sometimes playfully, you know, your grandson may tease a grandfather. Or a nephew may tease an uncle. But this was not a playful behavior. This was actually a serious one. If it was a playful behavior, people joke about each other in families. You have seen that? So Vidura was like shell-shocked by this. So the word Karna Banair is used. Karna Banair means like an arrow piercing through the ears into the heart. So generally, if your near and dear relatives, you know, curse you or speak sharply to you, it's very painful to tolerate. If an unknown person curses you, it's another thing. Somebody very close to you, his elder brother's son. So Vidura for a moment was like stunned, not knowing what to do in the next moment. But at that time, how, because of his sincerity, he was enlightened by Hladini potency, and what decision he made, that comes in the next verse. which will keep it a suspense for you in the next session. Shri Prabhupada ki, Grantharshrimad Bhagavatam ki.